All right. Hello, everybody. It's Dr. Ray Heinisch, and I'm joined here by none other than...
Blythe Ahlberg. Hi. How are you guys doing today?
I hope everybody's doing well. Can I just say, Blythe, we have the best listeners in the world.
You're not kidding. Literally in the world.
I mean, all over the world. It's really great to hear from you guys. I get emails from you guys. We love it when you guys post the reviews on iTunes for us. That's always fun to read as well. Of course, on our Facebook page, Cut the Fat Podcast, all one word. Search for that on Facebook. Find us. Like the page. Get on there. Ask your questions and leave comments. Tell us how you're doing. We love to hear how you guys are doing.
Yeah. And, you know, not to forget some of our local listeners. I ran across a couple of our local listeners last week, and it was pretty cool.
Oh, that's awesome. I run across a couple of them every now and again as well.
Yeah. Shout out to all of our people that live nearby us.
Yes, absolutely. All right. So in today's podcast, we're going to talk about the 7 laws of leanness. So, you know, Blythe, every now and again, I have a tendency to get a little bit on the Tony Robbins side of things, right?
Yes, but I like that about you.
Well, thank you. And so in today's, it's going to be no different. In fact, I'm going to start the podcast by telling you kind of one of Tony Robbins' most famous rules, and that is that success leaves clues. So if you want to be successful, what you've got to do is you've got to go out there and you got to find a model, somebody who models basically a life that you want. For example, if we're talking about fat loss, you're looking for somebody who's been successful at losing weight and helping others to lose weight. And then basically what you do is you model what they did. Mm-hmm. And in this case, this article, which we're going to be talking about, the article is called The 7 Laws of Leanness. It's written by 2 guys, the authors of the book, help me
Eat
out
This
here.
Not That.
Eat This, Eat not, this that. Not That. And also the editor-in-chief of Men's Health magazine.
Which is super cool. I think those are 2 great pieces of literature for people to read and learn things from.
Yeah, you get all kinds of little fun little tidbits from that book and from the magazines. I'd say, you know, with the magazines themselves, the Men's Health, and I think they're more fun than they are science typically.
Yeah, but they have good articles in them. I find that, you know, I'll be thumbing through. I always find one, whether it's Men's Health or like, you know, Oxygen or something like that. I usually find one article with like a lot of validity to it.
Right. For me, it's a fun read. If you're a health and fitness geek, you know, we talk about this. We want you guys to become experts in the field of fat loss. And part of that is modeling what people who are experts do. And people who are experts in fat loss read endlessly. They love to read about health, fitness, wellness, eating, exercise, cooking, and you know, how to prep food and things like that. And you want to kind of get out there and do the same kinds of things, right?
That's exactly right.
So this article...
It never gets old to me.
No, it never gets old to me either. I'm always reading stuff. So this article is located on Yahoo Health. So if you want to find the article, just search. Go to Yahoo Health and search for the 7 laws of leanness. We're going to talk about each of the laws that are listed in this article. And we're going to give kind of our 2 cents as well, right?
Yes. Yeah, I want to expand a little bit on some of these laws of leanness.
All right, so start us with the first one.
Okay, number 1, lean people don't diet. And you know what? There is a lot of truth to that. People who always see themselves as quote-unquote dieting means they're on again, off again, trying something new, probably not sticking to the same thing, because if it were the same thing, then that would be your lifestyle. And this is something that you and I talked about before we even started the podcast today is – you know, I feel like I'm always on a diet, but my perception of being on a diet is my lifestyle is a diet. So what we mean when we say lean, or when he says lean people don't diet, it's the on again, off again type of diet.
Right. It's this mentality that there's some secret formula out there and all I got to do is continue to read and adopt the next program. And it kind of conflicts with what we just said. We want you guys to be out there reading and learning more stuff. But we don't want you, as we've said in previous podcasts, completely abandoning any set program. You look for the nuggets that you can apply to your current program.
Mm-hmm.
You build upon a foundation, and you don't just defect every time something new comes along.
That's right.
And he talks about a study that was published where they basically determined that one of the key ways to determine if somebody's going to gain weight in the next year is to ask them one question. And that question was, are you currently on a diet? People who said, yes, I'm on a diet, had a tendency to gain weight in the next year, not lose weight.
That's crazy. And, you know, something else he mentions in the article, towards the end of him describing lean people don't diet, he talks about there was a study showing that writing or tracking your diet in a food journal actually boosts your stress levels, which in turn increases your level of a hormone called cortisol. And cortisol is linked to weight gain and weight gain around your midsection.
Absolutely. Not to mention, you know, who needs extra stress. You know, we all have enough stress.
Right. But my argument to that is depends on your perception of weight loss and or dieting, being lean, all those things. Your perception of it every morning could be, oh, hey, another day of dieting. This sucks. Or it could be, hey, it's another day to work towards my health and fitness. And if you look at it like the glass is half full, then I don't think creating a food journal should add any stress. It's actually bringing a new level of awareness that will help you along your journey of creating a lifestyle of health and wellness.
Right. And we've talked about that as well in the past because it's so important. One of the things that we do with clients that seems to make the most difference is we have them start writing down and keeping track of what they're consuming. So the difference is, how do you view body transformation? How do you view this process of burning fat and getting fit? If it's all about what you're losing, if it's all about weight loss per se, and it's not about getting fit and healthy, then yes, every time you look at that food journal, it's going to remind you of all the stuff you can't eat. It's going to remind you of what's missing from your life rather than what's being added back into the life. So really it comes back to how you view this process of body transformation. Most people come at it as though it is something to be feared, something to be hated, that somehow being healthy is going to take from your life rather than add back to your life.
Right.
And I think that's why in this study that was published in Psychosomatic Medicine, it just shows how people, how most people that is, approach weight loss. It is this thing to be stressed about, this thing to be feared. And that's why people's cortisol levels would go up.
Mm.
Now, if we taught, and I think if we were to take and do the same study with your and my clients, Blythe, I'm willing to bet that their cortisols would not go up. And you know why? Because they have you there coaching them.
Mm-hmm.
And you and your excitement about this process of body change gets caught by them. And therefore, when they look at their journal, they're not looking at it as something to be stressed about.
Right.
They're looking at it as one of the tools to build a healthy life.
That makes a lot of sense to me. So yeah, it all comes back to your perception. And again, you know, we've talked about this in a previous podcast. Don't set yourself up for failure from the very beginning. Don't start this diet thinking this is going to be a temporary change just to lose 5 pounds. And once I do, you're going to go back to your normal or your previous way of eating. That's a really tough way to start a diet.
Yeah, you can't do that because the moment you do, you've already lost.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not about weight loss. Again, guys, it's not about weight loss. It's about losing weight for a lifetime, getting that weight off and never having that come back. That's
exactly
the goal. Who cares about how much weight you can lose? That's why I have some difficulty with the competitions, because it's about how much you lose, but it doesn't really speak to how much you keep off for the rest of your life.
That's exactly right, because you see a lot of people out there that were bodybuilders or figure competitors, and they do not live a healthy lifestyle. They might have looked that way and they have pictures to prove it, but that's kind of where the buck ends.
Right. And you don't think about it, but a lot of these, a lot of the fitness competitors that you can see on, let's say, a magazine or up on stage, you may see them sometime mid-year when they're not in competition,
mm-hmm.
and they may be overweight, right?
Yeah. Or very, very normal looking, you know, soft. Right. You don't have a bunch of lines cut into your biceps and your quads.
Right, exactly. Okay, so that's, I think we beat that one up. Law number one, which is lean people don't diet. Neither do fat cutters, do they?
No, we don't diet, guys.
Okay, so what's the second one?
Law number two, lean people don't go fat free. The first thing that entered my mind when I read this was, if you're worried about going fat free, then you are eating foods that you probably shouldn't be eating. Meaning, if you think, oh, well, I'm going to go get some sour cream and I'm going to go get a block of cheese and I'm going to go, you know, if you're turning everything to read the label to see how much fat is in it, it means you're not choosing foods that are naturally provided by Mother Nature.
Right. I couldn't go up and say go into a supermarket and say, can I have a pound of fat-free nuts?
Right. Nuts naturally come with fat because it's healthy for you.
Right. Or can I have a fat-free avocado, please?
Right. No.
No, you can't do it.
But I've never seen anybody get fat off nuts or avocados either. Because if you eat so many nuts that you get fat, you're going to feel sick.
Yeah, it's true. And now I can say I have met people who have eaten too many nuts and it has stalled their weight loss.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I never met somebody who became clinically obese eating nuts.
If you're out there buying, not to pick on a brand, but Lay's potato chips, and you decide, well, instead of buying the regular potato chips, I'm going to buy the fat-free or the light potato chips. If you find yourself making choices like that, odds are you probably shouldn't be eating potato chips at all.
Right. And they talk about this in the study. It was a European study. They don't mention what study it is, by the way. I don't think they have it referenced. They don't. But they talk about a European study that tracked nearly 90,000 people for several years and discovered that participants who tried to eat low fat had the same risk of being overweight as those who ate whatever they wanted. So it's not a useful way to approach weight loss per se, is to approach it from a fat-free or a low-fat prospect. We want to make sure that if we're eating clean, the fat will typically take care of itself, right?
Yes. Yep. You're exactly right. Don't instead of worrying about if something's got fat in it, worry about is it natural or not.
Right. Are you eating clean is the way to approach it.
Mm-hmm. Shall we move on to law number three?
Yep, let's do it.
And this is a great one. We have talked about this before, and I think it's awesome that it comes up in this one because I think there's a lot of truth to that. And it kind of rolls into something at the very, very end that I do want to bring back up. So don't let me forget, Ray.
Okay.
Lean people sit down to eat. In fact, the more you sit down and enjoy your food, the leaner you're going to be. Okay, so I know a lot of us, especially, you know, busy moms and dads, people who work a lot of hours, people who own their own businesses and all they do is work, they're always eating on the run. And I'm going to include myself in this sometimes, but I do make an effort for at least two times that I eat a day, primarily lunch and dinner. I sit down. It's a conscious effort. I have to make the conscious effort to sit down and eat my food and chew it rather than talking on the phone, driving the car and eating, peanut butter and jelly oatmeal pancakes on my way to work, which happens on occasion.
Right.
But I do make the effort to sit down and eat. And I think it's very important. There was also a study on this one, right? University found.
Yeah. Two studies that they brought up in this particular article. One was Greek researchers reported that eating more slowly and savoring your meals actually boosted the levels of two hormones that are responsible for making you feel full and less hungry or satiated.
Mm-hmm.
So just slowing the process down seems to improve the body's capacity to produce the hormones responsible for feeling fullness or satiated.
Yeah, and I think that sitting down and eating brings a level of awareness to that too. You're making a conscious effort of eating now rather than eating on the go.
Right. And just eating basically in a non-distracted form.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess it's possible to sit down and eat and still be distracted, right? If people sit in front of the TV and always eat in front of the television, you're not really savoring your food, are you?
No. You're just kind of getting the job done.
Right. Exactly. And they talked about a second study, which was interesting as well. And in this study, this was Cornell University, they had people sit down at the table in two ways. Either they gave them a full they gave them a full plate of food. So when they sat down, their plate was already filled with food. Or they gave them an empty plate, but set the table up like we like most families set it up, where you have an empty plate and you've got a bunch of bowls sitting in front of you full of food, you know, turkey or chicken, beef, mm-hmm. you know, mashed potatoes,
broccoli.
Cheese,
broccoli. Don't forget the veggies.
Right. And so what they discovered was the people who sat down at the table with a full plate already consumed 35% less than the group who ate family style.
Okay.
That was pretty interesting to me because I hadn't really heard that before.
Yeah, I never really thought about that. You know, when kind of like Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner, when people pass the food around and you pass the dish and everybody takes a spoonful, do you ever pay attention to how much? Like, will you eat more or less because of certain people that are around?
Oh, yeah. Well, like when my brothers are around, it's, you know, it's no holds barred because there's no guarantee that you're going to get second, you know, a second portion.
Right, that last bread roll or the last scoop of mashed potatoes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was an interesting study. And we talked about this in previous podcasts. If you guys don't remember, go back and find the podcast on mindfulness eating. Mm-hmm. And we talk about that. We talk about mindful eating and mindless eating and combine them together in what we call mindfulness eating. And in that podcast, we give you some other ideas for how to eat less naturally without having to think about it.
Yes. Moving on to number four.
You got it.
Law number four. And in a perfect world, this one would be number one in my book if these were labeled in order of absolute importance. Law number four, lean people know what they're going to eat next. This is something, if you don't already know what you're going to cook for dinner tonight or what you're going to eat for your next meal, you're already behind the eight ball. You should always know what you're going to eat next. You either have your food packed in a cooler and it's there with you, or you know where it's at in the refrigerator. So when you get done with what you're doing, you go and get it. What I'm saying is you should be prepared enough to have your next meal ready and waiting for you.
Okay, so let's take a step into the real world, though, Blythe.
Okay.
And let's see, because I can see a lot of people out there thinking, well, you know, that works for a fitness professional. But what about just in general life? You know, I've got kids. I've got a full-time job. I have all kinds of responsibilities. There's just no way I'm going to carry around a cooler full of food.
Okay. I didn't say full of food. It doesn't have to be full. Just a little bit of food.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I guess the key factor here is you got to have a plan. If you have no plan, then you're really at the mercy of somebody else. You're at the mercy of advertisements that are on television. You're at the mercy of the McDonald's and the Wendy's that you pass every day on the way to work. You're mm-hmm. at the mercy of the birthday cake that shows up because three people in the office are having a birthday party today and two more have a birthday party tomorrow. You're basically allowing life to dictate what you're going to eat. So the key factor here is to have a plan. Think ahead of time what you're going to consume. And always try to eat when you're not starving, right? You don't wait until you're starving before you decide to sit down and decide what to eat, because by then it's too late. Your reptilian brain has taken over and it's almost completely out of your control.
Right. And I think that's half of the formula here, or half of the equation, is if you don't know what you're going to eat next and you get to the point where you're starving, you will grab anything that is nearby. And you fall to the mercy of, like you said, the McDonald's or the Burger King around the corner. And even if you're trying to make a healthy choice from what they have to offer, you're still limited to what they have to offer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could make, you could have a Greek yogurt and a bag of mixed nuts in your cooler or in the refrigerator at work or wherever. Those are easy to go things that if you don't eat them then, you can always eat them later. You know, I'm not talking about dicing up your chicken, making a mango salsa. I'm not talking about like gourmet meals to go, although those are always nice to have.
They
but
are.
In the real world, you know, who is prepared for that? I know, Ray, don't you make like a meat sauce, like a bolognese sauce, and you freeze them in packages in your freezer? Do you still do that?
Yeah, I certainly do. That and chili, a meat chili as well.
Yeah, so you've always got food prepared and ready to go. If you find yourself in a bind and you've got nothing in your refrigerator that looks like dinner to you, you know, that's got a protein and lower in carbohydrates, then you've got that meat sauce in the freezer. That's the same way you should be thinking for each meal, including snacks. I carry a little scoop of dry protein whey powder in my purse at all times. I just leave it in there until I forget about it. And if I get in a bind, guess what? I grab that and go buy a bottle of water. And I'm good to go for 45 minutes or until I can get to some food that I should actually be eating.
Right. So it's always good to, if you can, to do some preemptive preparation and preemptive eating. What's the difference? Preemptive prep is really about having food readily available. That's what I do when I make a meat sauce, like a really heavy meat sauce, and put it into individual glass Tupperware containers and freeze them. And when I make that meat chili as well and freeze it, it's always there. I always know I can reach in the freezer and in 5 minutes microwave up a good, hearty, healthy, high-protein, lean meal. So that's preemptive food prep. Very important for people who want to succeed long-term and getting in the rhythm of it, you know, having a system down. Like you do your food prep every Sunday for, you know, 1 or 2 hours, and you just freeze everything and you're good to go.
That's exactly right.
And then preemptive eating is we can kind of knock that into two different styles. Preemptive eating can mean, number one, thinking about what's coming next. So you eat breakfast and you think, okay, I'm going to have a chicken burrito bowl for lunch with half the rice or no rice, extra lettuce. And from Chipotle, that's what I'm going to eat for lunch. Because now it's in your head. Now you have a plan. If you just don't think about it, then lunchtime rolls around and the local rep came in and bought everybody pizza. What are you going to eat? You're going to eat pizza.
Yeah.
So that's and then the other level of preemptive eating is to actually just make sure you eat prior to starvation settling in. When you're starved and you're famished and you need food now, you're not going to make good choices. And I talked about that in, I think, one or two podcasts ago, where it's not about eating or just consuming low-calorie foods. It's about building a lifestyle that makes doing that easy and effortless.
Yes. And once you start, you develop the habit. And you find that it's actually easier. Believe it or not, it's easier to have your food. It's easier on your mind because you're sticking to what you planned. You feel good about yourself when you make wise choices. I think we would all agree on that. And if you make wise choices with your food, you feel better about it at the end of the day. In turn, you feel better when you wake up the next morning because you had a great day of eating.
Exactly. It's like that commercial for, what is it? It's one of the yogurts, I think. It's like they show a split screen. On the left, it's a woman who's making a bad choice for breakfast. On the right, I think she's grabbing the yogurt for breakfast. On the right, it's she's like making, I think, pancakes and, you know, donuts and stuff like that. And the whole purpose of it is to say, I can't remember the exact kind of tagline, but it's like, if you make good choices now, you'll make good choices later. That is a philosophy of Cut the Fat podcast that we've been saying since the beginning. One of the most important things you can do is make a great choice for breakfast, right? When you do that, you set the stage for the rest of the day.
That's exactly right. And you feel good about yourself from choosing a good breakfast. You don't want to spoil all the good that you've done already.
That's powerful. All right, good. So why don't we go to the next one?
Okay, number five, and now in a perfect world, like I said, this should be number two. Lean people eat protein. Whenever I'm working with my clients and I take a look at their food journal, you know, I usually ask for like 2 or 3 days worth of normal eating for them so I can kind of get a good idea of where they're starting from. I calculate, the very first thing I do is I look at the foods, how many of them are processed, and I calculate how many grams of protein on average that person gets in a day. That's the first thing, because it is so important to get enough protein. And most people are nowhere near getting enough protein on a daily basis to maintain where they're at, let alone lose.
Mm-hmm. I think it's hugely important that people get this. What we're not saying here is that you necessarily have to go an Atkins approach. It's not about eating high protein, low carb, at least not for the long term. You can use that as a tactic to spark some weight loss, but it's not that's not successful long term. What we want to do here, what we're trying to convey to you, is get the philosophy of it. Understand that eating higher levels of protein is important because it keeps a lot of the more fat unfriendly foods out of the mix.
Right. If you fill yourself with the proteins, if you're adamant about getting your protein in, you will feel less hungry for the rest of the day just because the protein is so filling.
Right. And they talk about a couple of different studies. One was a European study where people who ate moderately high levels of protein were twice as likely to lose weight and keep it off as those who didn't eat as much protein. Mm. Moderate levels of protein. We're not talking high protein, just moderate levels. And another study from the New England Journal of Medicine that showed that a high protein diet was more effective at causing weight loss and specifically fat loss than a low protein diet. So we want to make sure that we're getting enough protein to satiate the body's needs for that. And we talked about in the past how you could you can achieve this. You can actually promote this by simply getting a scoop of whey protein twice a day in between meals. We talked about how that helped to maintain the muscle mass while somebody was attempting to lose weight. Mm-hmm. And that's a very easy way to get 40 grams of protein in and supplement your diet with protein to make sure you meet that cutoff for your body.
Right. People often ask me, what supplements do I suggest? And I suggest that everybody out there have some sort of a protein supplement, whey or soy protein or whatever works best with your body. But I think everybody could use a little help getting the protein in because it's hard to eat meat and or nuts. Or what if you're a vegan? It's hard to eat that much food. Mm-hmm. In protein.
You don't have to go overboard, but it's a matter of meeting your body's minimum requirements. And we don't, from person to person, it's hard to gauge how much is enough. So we want to make sure that it's better that we overshoot our mark a little than it is to undershoot it a little.
Right. I usually say about a gram per pound of ideal body weight. So if you're somebody who's 400 pounds, you're not going to aim for 400 grams of protein.
Right.
But whatever your ideal body weight would be, maybe it's 200 pounds, then you're going to aim for 200 grams of protein a day. And that's a lot. But if you're getting 40 of that from a whey protein supplement, you know, you've already got 40 under the belt.
There you go. Very good.
Okay, number 6. This is a good one, and I know we have addressed this one before as well. Lean people move around. And I recall in one of our podcasts me talking about parking a little farther away in the parking lot or at the back of the parking lot when you go to the grocery store. So you just have to walk a little farther. I think these are things, you know, if I end up waiting 2 or 3 minutes for an elevator, I'd rather just take the stairs. If I'm going to the second floor, just as easy for me to take the stairs. I think things like that that are like mindless to me, those are the type of things that they're talking about when they say moving around.
They're talking about going for a leisurely walk. They're talking about playing with the kids, wrestling with the dog, going fishing, doing just non-exercise activity, or what we've called non-exercise activity thermogenesis, NEAT. And we did, I think, a whole podcast on that as well. You know, in my office, I have a trek desk, a treadmill desk. So that's actually what I'm standing on right now as I'm podcasting. I'm not walking right now because I don't want you to hear the thumping of my feet. But I'm standing. I'm not sitting. And even standing burns twice as many calories as sitting does. So it's really about just being more active, having fun with life and activity, getting out and just doing stuff, not sitting all day long.
Having more life in your life, right?
Right, which we're going to talk about here in the next law as well. But so non-exercise activity thermogenesis. Go back to the old podcast. Listen to that if you've forgotten about it. But just get up and have fun and do stuff. Don't sit. Don't sit all day. If you're at work, try to get up, do some jumping jacks, do some push-ups, do some crunches, move around some, and just be more active, right?
Yes, exactly right. I do want to mention, you know how I said don't let me forget about what I wanted to say?
Yes.
We talked about sitting down to eat. Well, that kind of rolls into law number 7 here. Lean people watch less TV. Now, the one argument I have is the I don't have time for that. Okay. People have plenty of time to sit down and watch House or, I don't know, do you have a favorite TV show that you watch? Even if it's Biggest Loser.
I do enjoy House.
Okay.
House. And last night I was watching The Walking Dead.
Okay.
So some good shows. There's some good shows out there. And it's so easy to get caught up. And before you know it, you spent, what, 3, 4, 5 hours sitting in front of a television.
Right. And there goes all your A, food prep time, B, workout time, C, activity time, if you're just, you know, going to do something fun with your kids. There was a study done that said every hour of television you watch takes 22 minutes from your life. That was a researcher in Australia discovered that every hour in front of the TV takes away 22 minutes. So I'm not saying that we all need to start calculating how many minutes of life we've lost by watching House, you know, the last 3 weeks in a row or whatever. I like that show too. But what I do want, I think it's just another level of awareness that if you've got time to sit down, I mean, I used to schedule certain shows whenever Friends would come on. I had to be home Fridays at 6 p.m. or whatever it came, whenever it came on. I would make it an absolute certainty that I was home at that time to watch that show. Why isn't that simple to do with food preparation or workouts? Why does it not work that way? Because it can. It really can. I think it's just the way we perceive it.
Absolutely. And let's go through some of the studies that they mentioned in this article. Number one, they found that about 18% of people who watch less than 2 hours of TV a day have a BMI or a body mass index of 30 or more, which would be quite heavy. Compare that to about twice that number in people who watch 4 hours of TV a day or more. They end up having 30% higher likelihood of ending up with a high BMI. So it almost doubles the likelihood of being overweight and obese when you watch 4 hours of TV versus two. And let's point out that at least here in America, in the States, the average person watches, I think the figures are 4 to 5 hours of TV or 4 to 6 hours of TV per day.
Wow.
That's one study. Another study, University of Vermont, found that overweight participants who cut their daily television time in half from an average of 5 hours a day to 2.5 hours per day burned an extra 119 calories a day. That's just from not having TV there. You know, that it forces you to get up and do more. It forces you because that TV is hypnotizing.
Yeah, and a lot of things happen while you're watching TV. Whether, you know, if there's some snack food sitting nearby, you may reach over into that bowl of M&Ms or whatever is nearby. Just the non-activity. Sitting versus maybe getting up and loading the dishwasher. That's an activity. Mm-hmm. You know, little things like that. So
they also said a recent study of people who successfully lost weight found that 63% of them watched less than 10 hours of TV a week. That's 10 hours. That's a lot of time still. But 63% of them watched less than 10 hours a week. Remember, what we're trying to do here is we're trying to model what successful people have done in the past. And
yes,
they watch less TV. If you can keep your television time to 10 hours or less in a week, I think you're going to be doing pretty good, especially in comparison to the population.
And just imagine how much extra time you'd have. I mean, we've all got 24 hours in a day. But what you do with that time is, you know, what kind of makes or breaks you.
Right. So if you stop watching 1 hour of television a day, that gives you 22 minutes of life back, which means you're going to live 22 minutes longer, according to that Australian researcher.
Mm-hmm.
But how much living do you get back? If you stop watching 1 hour of television, how much living do you get? You get an hour of living back, meaning that hour can be spent doing something worthwhile, pursuing your goals, pursuing your purpose, learning to sing, learning to dance, learning to play guitar, learning to cook, learning to do art, whatever, man. We are just all wasting too much time in front of the television. And I'm going to put myself in that list too. I don't watch 5 hours. I probably don't even watch 2 hours a day, but it's you're sitting in front of this box, glamored by this flickering light on the screen.
Well, it's other people's life, you know, when you could be creating your own.
So we've talked about 1 hour. If you give 1 hour up of television time, just get rid of it. Just drop it out. you get the equivalent of 15 days back in a year. 15 days. You get 2 weeks. Imagine if you could go to your boss and say, hey, boss, would you be willing to give me 2 weeks more vacation every year? You know, they look at you like you have three eyes. But you can do it yourself. You can give yourself 14, 15 days worth of vacation every year by simply stop watching 1 hour of television a night. Crazy to me. It really is crazy.
That's powerful, right? I like that. Well, I guess that wraps up our seven laws of leanness. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Well, I just want to give everybody the reference again. Okay, so this comes from the seven laws of leanness was written by David Zinchenko.
Zinchenko, maybe?
Zinchenko, with Matt Golding. And they are the editor-in-chief of Men's Health and authors of the book, Eat This, Not That. Mm-hmm. And if you want to find the article that we referenced in this podcast, just go to Yahoo Health and search for the seven laws of leanness, and you'll find it on there. Why don't you give everybody the information about the Cut the Fat podcast, and then we'll give our parting words.
Okay, sure. Well, you can find us online, www.cutthefatpodcast.com. We do have the ultimate weight loss tool available on there. So once you click on the homepage, up pops a little video. If you watch the video and follow the directions, you will receive the ultimate weight loss tool free from Dr. Ray and I. Also, you can find us on Facebook, Cut the Fat Podcast, all one long word. You can friend us on there. Leave any questions, any comments. We love to hear from you guys. I love when people share their weight loss stories with us on there. All of your successes and things like that. It's wonderful. And if you're asking questions, other people are too. So be sure to post any questions you have up there. Also want to say thank you to the Grilled Lincolns, who are the music we will be departing to.
Departing. That sounds so final.
Until the next time. we're just riding off into the sunset for now.
Okay, that sounds good. Until the next podcast, we will see you guys next time. Again, we love you guys. You guys are awesome, and we love to hear from you. So be sure to post comments on Facebook and reviews on iTunes, and we will see you at the next Cut the Fat podcast.
Thanks for listening.
See ya.
Something new, a little twist of what you know is true. You're in a cloudy hole, shit don't touch you, and you feel a place to pop the pussy's glue. And all the sticky things that keep me silent are the same things that make your safe world violent.